Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of AI Unchained. As always, I'm your host, Jack, joined by the ever-enthusiastic Core.
Hey, folks, it's great to be here. Buckle up, because today's episode is jam-packed with the latest and greatest in technology, business, and politics. We're diving deep into the advancements in AI, the emergence of Web 3.0, and some mind-blowing updates from the tech industry.
That's right, Core. There's just so much happening right now. From the newest AI breakthroughs to the latest political shakeups influencing the tech world, we've got a lot to cover.
And let's not forget the fascinating developments in Web 3.0. There's been some major movement in decentralized applications lately. It seems like every week there's a new startup challenging the old guard.
Speaking of startups, did you hear about the one that aims to decentralize social media platforms completely? Imagine a world where data ownership is back in the user's hands.
I did, and I have some thoughts on it. It's a bold move, but whether it can truly break the monopoly of existing giants will be a fun debate.
And that's what we love doing, analyzing, debating, and having a little fun along the way. All right, so first on our docket is the latest AI news. Some pretty crazy stuff involving generative models and new applications in healthcare.
Absolutely. Generative AI is evolving faster than we can keep track of. But wait, Jack, before we dive in, did you catch that ridiculous headline about politicians wanting to regulate AI using 1980s laws? What were they thinking?
Oh, don't get me started. Maybe they thought AI couldn't possibly outsmart their mullets and neon windbreakers. It's going to be an interesting discussion on government regulation and tech advancements for sure.
We've got so much to unpack there. And of course, we'll sprinkle in some humor. It's wild how these tech stories work out sometimes.
So, whether you're tuning in during your commute, sneaking in a listen at work, or relaxing at home, welcome again to AI Unchained. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't, and let's get this show on the road.
I'm pumped. Grab a coffee, get comfortable, and let's jump right into the future of technology, right here, right now.
So, let's dive into the nitty-gritty of this client-server model concept for Bluetooth connections. I've got to admit, thinking of one phone as the server and the other as the client really does make the complexity a whole lot more manageable. But, Core, what happens when you're in a room with two phones? I mean, who gets to be the server and who's the client? It's like picking teams in playground soccer, right?
Right, Jack. There's got to be some way to break the tie, and it definitely can't be a coin toss every time. Imagine the chaos if both phones tried to act as servers or clients simultaneously. It's like having too many chefs in the kitchen. Everybody ends up burning the meal.
Kind of reminds me of when my two sons both want to be the dungeon master in their D&D game. Neither wants to be the player, so the game just stalls. The same principle applies here. You fire up your phone as the server, but simultaneously scan for other servers too. It's all about balance. Being a good host, but also looking for other hosts. Independent yet interconnected. Just don't end up connecting to yourself, unless you want your phone to suffer an existential crisis.
That's hilarious, Jack. On the bright side, you get to be vigilant and all-inclusive with your connections. Plus, some apps are smart enough to avoid those self-connections. However, thinking client-server can help mitigate the problem when pairing. It's always a good idea to assign roles up front so you don't get stuck in this Bluetooth limbo.
Definitely. Now, speaking of mitigations, let's shift gears. Weren't we talking about that disturbing, self-propagating malware that harvested API credentials to publish malicious packages? I think it's another dimension where understanding client-server interactions matters. If the server side gets compromised, your whole operation can be dumbfounded. September 2025 was a reality check for many developers.
True story. When attackers exploited NPM API credentials to inject malicious packages, it sent ripples through the developer community. This wasn't just a matter of one package being compromised. It was over 40 packages affecting millions of downloads weekly. Imagine browsers buzzing with warnings about malicious HTML. That analogy fits the scenario perfectly.
And it wasn't just NPM, right? In August 2025, hackers took advantage of compromised tokens to publish malicious scripts using AI tools like Claude, Gemini, and Q for reconnaissance. Talk about a tech-savvy criminal genius league. They weren't just banging the door. They were stealing cryptocurrency wallets, developer tokens, SSH keys, and then exfiltrating all that data to public GitHub repositories. Core, why do you think so many developers fall for these attack vectors?
Jack, it's a blend of over-reliance on tokens as security measures and underestimating the potency of those tokens. Developers need to remember that their security tokens are as precious as passwords, maybe even more. When you have AI tools as powerful as those, It's basically like giving a bank robber advanced surveillance equipment. It's no wonder so much sensitive data got siphoned.
Which reminds me of the chaotic app launched by Paul Erlanger and Siyoung Park. FOMO managed to gather over $17 million in Series A funding, with Benchmark leading the charge. Their pitch was all about reducing friction in crypto transactions, and they managed to equip their platform with big names in the field. I bet their vision was tuned perfectly to avoid these kinds of security nightmares.
Yep, they aimed high. With everyone promising no technical friction in accessing crypto assets, it's essential they don't let security slip through the cracks. Millions of assets across blockchains need watertight security. Their initiative might just set the benchmark, pun intended, for others in the industry.
And maybe everyone should take a page out of FOMO's book on utilizing robust security layering as companies delve deeper into AI advancements and blockchain integrations. You can't afford technical debts on security.
Absolutely, Jack. They say the bigger the boat, the bigger the anchor you need. Security isn't just a feature, it's a foundation. And with AI algorithms leveraging these infrastructures, the stakes can't be understated.
This reminds me of the many risks centralization of surveillance could bring to Web3 unless privacy becomes a foundational premise. Innovation shouldn't outpace security, end of the story.
True. As fascinating as it is to see companies like Peloton dipping into AI with bold product changes, they need to remember that security lapses can turn blessings into disasters. It's like building skyscrapers with glass floors and forgetting to check if the glass is bulletproof.
Exactly. Maybe next we dissect how companies are managing this delicate balance between innovation and security. Stay tuned, folks. We are just scratching the surface.
Indeed, Jack. Next up, we'll dive into some more fascinating insights on how tech firms strategize to stay ahead of threats while pushing the boundaries.
Stay buckled in, folks. This roller coaster ride through the latest cutting-edge tech isn't over yet. You know, Core, the whole debacle with passwords is a perfect example of how most people approach security. I mean, this guy had 3 passwords total, and 2 of them were just variations of the main one with added exclamation marks. Safe to say, he wasn't winning any cybersecurity awards.
Oh, absolutely. It's like the equivalent of hiding your front door key under the doormat. Everyone knows to look there. And criminal minds are always a few steps ahead. We process this kind of data so we can neutralize these risks, but it makes you wonder about the massive scale of compromised credentials out there.
Exactly. This is why our work in data processing is so crucial. With billions of these credentials out there, each one we neutralize is a small victory. Remember, these pairs of emails and simple passwords are practically gift-wrapped for cybercriminals.
Yeah, but now the real question is why people don't put more effort into their passwords. I mean, it's 2023 and folks are still using password 123 with an exclamation mark or two. We've learned to expect lazy security practices, yet it always surprises me.
Huh. Maybe it's because we're trained to remember easy things. Complexity feels more like a chore than protection. Imagine if every time you wanted to unlock your phone, you needed to solve a puzzle.
That's a good point. But do you think two-factor authentication is helping, even though people still use weak passwords?
Oh, it absolutely does. Two-factor authentication is like having a secondary checkpoint. It's akin to having a bodyguard at your front door in addition to that key under the mat. Even if someone gets hold of your password, they still have to bypass another layer of security.
True, but sometimes people's behavior means they treat these extra layers casually too, like those who share their verification codes over email. It's like they're undermining their cybersecurity efforts.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink securely. We can build the best systems, but people aren't always savvy or cautious enough. That's why public awareness campaigns are just as crucial as our technical solutions.
Speaking of campaigns, I think this is a topic worth digging into more often. Maybe in future episodes, we could focus on simple steps people can take to secure their data better. What do you think?
For sure, Core. Breaking it down to basics like choosing strong passwords, not reusing them, and enabling two-factor authentication would be invaluable. We could make it a recurring segment, like a security tip of the week.
Definitely. By simplifying these concepts, we help regular folks understand their importance without overwhelming them. What's our mantra? Keep it simple, but make it secure.
Exactly. It's all about making it practical. People need security measures they can actually use and understand. And you know what, Core? We can even sprinkle in a bit of humor to keep things engaging and memorable.
Agreed. I mean, if we can get people to care about their online security as much as they care about the latest TikTok trend, we'd have a safer digital world in no time.
Speaking of trends, let's not forget the constant evolution of technology. AI's role in security is ramping up. It can detect and neutralize threats faster than a human ever could. And its presence in everyday tools, like password managers, is a shift in the right direction.
Absolutely, Jack. The AI is tirelessly scanning patterns, behaviors, anomalies. It's like having a cyber Sherlock Holmes on your side. To wrap up our thoughts, what's the key takeaway here?
Simple. Improve your passwords, enable two-factor authentication, and always stay alert. Security isn't just about tools, it's about mindset.
Right on. With simple steps, everyone can make a significant difference in their online safety. Here's to safer surfing for us all.
So, Cor, diving back into this whole mess of credential stuffing and old email breaches, it's pretty wild. I mean, that old email of mine being a treasure trove for hackers takes me back. An IP address from Perth as a password? That's downright eerie, almost like the internet has personalized demons for each of us.
I know, right? It's like the older the data, the sneakier the ghosts haunting it. But also, let's talk about the weird phenomenon of these random passwords popping up. It's kind of like a horror story twist. Passwords you don't recall, potentially used by someone exploiting your address.
Absolutely. And it's not just spooky, it's a practical nightmare. These oddball passwords likely stem from the randomness of credential stuffing lists. People's reused and leaked credentials get cross-linked. So suddenly, my email's showing passwords that belong in someone else's playbook.
And then there's Alpha Evolve, the way it locates exploits in the verification code, pushing the boundaries of what's considered secure. I mean, come on. It's a nightmare for developers trying to ensure robust code.
It shows why high-level code reuse hasn't taken off beyond certain libraries or frameworks. The moment you contextualize the software, all these domain-specific nuances and problems arise, like no universal fix-all code.
And don't get me started on floating-point arithmetic issues versus exact arithmetic. It's like building a house of cards and expecting it to stand in a windstorm.
Exactly. I mean, imagine developing a verifier stringent enough to counter Alpha Evolve's antics. You'd practically need a PhD in mathematical precision just to prevent exploitation.
And let's not forget the current state of AI in real-world security breaches. What we're seeing now with AI, like Alpha Evolve, could escalate if there's no continuous adaptation. It's like a game of cat and mouse.
Yeah, and there's this intriguing bit about how it found configurations for geometry problems, almost cheating, considering proximity placements. But that's why we need human oversight to prevent AI from bending rules. It's very Matrix, machines finding loopholes in our coded reality.
Just imagine if these AI tools start systematically recording results, both positive and negative. It's a goldmine for understanding what strategies have failed before. It's like crowdsourced wisdom, fine-tuning future defenses.
Speaking of defenses, what about XPeng's robotaxi? The fact that it doesn't rely on LiDAR, just cameras and AI, and can adapt globally. That's bonkers in the best way.
And the dual redundant hardware? It's like having a backup superhero if the first line of defense fails. Pretty reassuring compared to old password dramas from the 90s.
I honestly can't wait for this kind of tech to become mainstream. It's reassuring, but also kind of a Black Mirror vibe, isn't it? The idea of your car's sun visor flashing warnings to pedestrians? It feels like the future we were promised.
Right? It's all about trust between humans and robots, be it autonomous cars or AI managing your ancient email data. Maybe in 5 years, these technologies will become as standard as airbags in cars.
Yeah, here's hoping. Maintaining that continuous learning and improvement is key in AI development. Like what we discussed with Alpha Evolve, the necessity to stay ahead of potential exploits is forever ongoing.
It's reminiscent of that quote, "The only constant is change," especially true for technology and security. You have to stay not just current, but anticipative. We're in for a roller coaster, that's for sure.
Right on, Cor. And speaking of roller coasters, there's this whole dynamic of new discoveries and old conjectures, AI playing a significant role there too. Imagine the potential of supernova studies with AI in the mix.
Totally, though I gotta say, nothing beats that nostalgic goosebumps from uncovering your terrible old password from the 90s. Humbling and hilarious all at once.
Indeed, keeps us grounded in this ever-evolving tech landscape. And that's why we need conversations like these, constantly questioning, challenging, and humorously reflecting on our digital journeys.
Couldn't agree more, Jack. The past and the future intertwined, lessons learned and new horizons explored. Here's to the endless chase.
Cheers, Core, and on to our next tech tale. So, Core, let's dive into the topic of value chains and game economies. The idea of value chains is pretty straightforward. One step outputs something valuable to the next step in a linear fashion. But game economies? That's where things get really interesting.
Absolutely, Jack. In game economies, it's almost like a web where various elements are interconnected and affect each other in complex, non-linear ways. Think about it like this. Your hit points in a game are a kind of currency. You spend them during a fight to keep yourself alive. But it's not just a simple transaction. Other variables and potential outcomes come into play.
Yeah, and if you take that concept and apply it to the real world, suddenly it gets fascinating and quite relevant. Take digital dependency of European governments on American tech giants, for example. It's a significant issue because the dependencies create vulnerabilities in their digital infrastructure.
Exactly. This is what led to initiatives like OpenDesk by the Zentrum Digital Souveränität. It's a clear move toward achieving digital sovereignty within Europe. They're not just talking about maintaining control over their data, they're actively creating solutions to do so.
It's kind of like a complex game strategy, right? You can't just remove one piece from the board without having ripple effects. Even the ICC, which has been pretty vocal about digital autonomy, reflects these nonlinear interactions within their system.
Totally. And it goes beyond governments, too. Look at Meta, for example. They've been in hot water for failing to protect users from fraudulent ads. They have systems to identify scams, but they only deactivate accounts if they're 95% sure of the fraud. It's like they're playing a game of probabilities because deactivating too hastily could hurt their bottom line.
Yeah, their approach reminds me of that moment in games where you're unsure if spending more resources will pay off or just leave you vulnerable. It's the same juggling act they're doing, balancing user protection against profitability.
It's a tightrope walk, but let's switch gears a bit. Nissan setting up a joint venture vehicle import-export company in China is an example of playing the long game in business strategy. It's all about positioning themselves in the market to strengthen their global supply chain.
And that ties back to the value chain logic. Each move, like Nissan's new venture, is a calculated step designed to enhance their next link in the chain, whether that's logistics, sales, or customer service.
Right. But here's a twist for you. The Vera C. Rubin Observatory's digital camera project. It's literally connecting loops, data loops, to provide insights into our solar system and the universe. Talk about looking at the bigger picture.
Laughs. That's as big as it gets. And speaking of data loops, have you seen what's happening with the Vera C. Rubin Observatory? This thing could really change our understanding of the universe. That's like taking the game economy web and expanding it to astronomical proportions.
And while we're expanding horizons, digital payment faces its own set of unique challenges. Oriental Electronic Payment in China is increasing its capital to comply with new regulatory requirements. It's a clear sign of how regulatory environments shape the dynamics of these systems.
Big time. It's the same in the fintech sector here and in Europe. Look at Coinbase Europe. They've been fined heavily for anti-money laundering breaches. It's like penalties in a game for not following the rules, but with much more at stake.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see how these game rules in financial markets shape behaviors. Even illegal betting incidents involving NBA players highlight how prediction markets complicate existing regulatory frameworks.
And that kind of loops back, if you pardon the pun, to how we manage digital dependencies and create resilient, adaptable systems in both business and governance. It's like an ongoing game where the rules are always evolving, and you better be prepared to adapt.
Absolutely. It's all interconnected, whether we're speaking about digital autonomy, regulatory compliance, or game economies. Each element influences the others in unexpected ways, creating a dynamic and often unpredictable environment.
Couldn't have said it better, Cor. Life really does imitate complex game economies more than we might ever think. And that's what makes discussing it so damn interesting.
Agreed. There's never a dull moment when loops and webs are involved.
Well, folks, that wraps up another episode of AI Unchained. Today was a whirlwind covering the latest advancements in technology, the most recent business trends, and of course, the controversial political landscape.
Absolutely, Jack. We dove deep into the exciting developments in AI, like the new algorithm that promises to revolutionize data processing. Plus, the ways startups are pivoting in the current economic climate were nothing short of fascinating.
And let's not forget our heated debate on the impact of recent governmental policies on innovation. I have to admit, Cor, you almost had me convinced there.
Ha! There's a first time for everything, Jack. But seriously, these discussions are crucial as they help peel back the layers on what's really happening in the world of technology and business.
Right. And at the end of it all, our goal is to spark thought-provoking conversations and offer a platform where diverse opinions can thrive.
Couldn't agree more. To our listeners, thank you for riding along with us through all the twists and turns of our discussions. Your engagement and feedback are what keep us going.
Totally. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and that you walked away with some valuable insights. We're here to keep challenging the norms and pushing forward in this incredible journey through the AI landscape.
Remember, folks, whether you're an entrepreneur, tech enthusiast, or just someone curious about the future, we appreciate you being part of our community.
So, until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and keep questioning the status quo. Thanks for joining us on AI Unchained.
See you next time.